Here's a question. How often do you think you need God's grace and forgiveness? How often? Yeah, how's 24/7 sound? Yeah, because we all know what it means to have done something. We think, oh, I regret that. How many of you have said something that you later regretted? Yeah, we all have done that. We did something dumb at work and we think, oh, we're gonna get fired, but grace is given. You know, I think every one of us is just about one step away from stupid.
Well, if that sounds anything like you, you'll have to stay tuned. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We hear a lot about God's grace and how important it is, but what exactly is it? How do you define it? And why is it so important in our lives? Today, Pastor Wayne will explain it in a way you may have never thought of before. Here he is with a message entitled, When You Need Forgiveness.
Today we want to talk about God's grace and God's forgiveness. And my prayer is that when you leave this place, you will have understood more about the power of grace and the power of forgiveness. Many of you have been in church for many years and yet have to understand the power of grace and the power of forgiveness. And my hope is that you will understand that. Someone asked me about Christians, you know, how many are in the church? No, Christians should not be counted. They should be weighed. The depth of your understanding and how it affects your life. So I'd like to, over the next 30 minutes, tell you three principles that will help you understand grace and forgiveness and the power of it. And not only how it affects you vertically, but how it, through you, affects others horizontally. But first about grace. How many of you need grace a lot? Raise your hand. Yeah. Have you ever been through days where everything goes wrong, nothing goes right? Let me tell you a funny story of a man who everything was going wrong. And he's in the bar, and sorry, this is church, but anyway, this is a story. And he's got this huge concoction that he's just spinning around for the 30 minutes or so, just sweating. And this big trucker comes in and looks at him and it sees him just toying with this drink. And he's thinking, he's a wuss. He's just, this is first time he's drinking probably in the bar. And so he has one, he has two, he has three. And he's looking at this guy just kind of spinning that glass around. And he says, you little sissy. This is probably your first time. This is what you do with those drinks. And he grabs that big thing and gulps it down and goes, that's what you have to do. You got to be a man. And this guy starts crying profusely, crying. Then the guy goes, you sissy, what's wrong with you now? I'll buy you another. He says, no, that's not the issue. So the big trucker goes, well, what's wrong? He says, well, it's been a terrible day. I went to work. I get fired. On the way home, I get run into by a car. When I get home, my wife left me a note that she left me and took my dog. I've got nothing left. So I come to this bar and I'm going to end my life. I'm going to take my life. I'm done. So here I am. You come in and you drank my poison. It's a bad day for both of them. Grace. We all need God's grace. We all need God's forgiveness, and we all need God's mercy. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to see what he means when he talks about grace. So if you take out your notes with me, you say, what are we going to do today? We're going to take communion. People say, well, you know, I come from a tradition where we took communion every week. How often should we take it? Every month? Every quarter? Well, the Bible doesn't give you specifics as to how often you should take it. In fact, it says this. Let me read some of it. In fact, when it comes up on the board, would you read it with me nice and loudly? Go. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now you'll notice he says, whenever you drink it and as often as you eat this bread, he doesn't give specifics of how often. He doesn't say the interval should be. No, he says, as often as you take it or whenever you take it, And the question is not how often. The question is there an intentional pause to remember why Calvary took place? It shouldn't be something where we do it as a perfunctory measure, a rote, a habit, or part of a ritual. No, because often that just becomes an add-on. There's no meaning to it. The Lord says, as oft as you take it, however often you take it, whether it's once a day, once a month, once a year, whatever it is, pause everything and remember the why of grace and forgiveness, not the when. And so what we do is when we take communion here at New Hope, we pause our series, we pause everything, and we speak about the why behind the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me. And so we're going to talk exactly about that today as we take communion, and we will intentionally pause as we talk about when you need forgiveness. Here's a question. How often do you think you need God's grace and forgiveness? How often? Yeah, how's 24/7 sound? Yeah, because we all know what it means to have done something. We think, oh, I regret that. How many of you have said something that you later regretted? Yeah, we all have done that. We made a mistake. We did something dumb that would affect our marriage or our friendship. We did something dumb at work and we think, oh, we're going to get fired. But grace is given. You know, I think every one of us is just about one step away from stupid. You know, we just one thing. It's like, oh, no, especially the male segment of our population. But good marriages, good friendships, good churches, listen, are all based on grace and forgiveness. Isn't that right? Because there are no perfect marriages. There's no perfect friendships. There's no perfect churches. This church was perfect until we all showed up, and then it went downhill from there. So we need God's grace. Well, I want to give you three principles and three stories that are attached to each one, one to each principle, that my prayer is that over the next half hour or so, you will come away with a deeper, more profound understanding of how grace and forgiveness will transform you utterly. The first is this, and you can write it down somewhere. Number one, understanding His grace will save you. Save you from what? We're about to find out. Let's read the scripture together. It's Romans 3 and verse 23 and 24. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption of Christ Jesus. For how many have sinned? Raise your right hand. That means you. We have all sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is? There's two kinds of deaths. One is the cessation of life where you stop. That's it. Done. Dead. There's also another definition of death, and that is this. It's a separation from life. You still exist, but there's no life happening. We've all experienced that in a friendship or a marriage or a situation where there's no life anymore. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There's a separation between you and God, and you can feel the distance. And we can try to make that normative, but it doesn't work. We can feel it. It just causes us to go further and further away. Now, when sin takes place, a spiritual debt is incurred that cannot be paid with any monetary currency. Even good works is not an acceptable currency to repay the debt. That debt can only be covered by the blood or the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is a miraculous gift of God. For the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. And when we sin, does God move away from us? No, when we sin, what happens? We move away from Him. It's like the story of Harry, an old farmer driving down the road. He's 92 years old in his old pickup, and his wife, Martha, is on the other side, and she's on the other side of the pickup, and he's driving down the old dusty road. Martha goes, Harry, look at us. Do you remember when we were young? We used to sit right next to each other. Look at us now. And Harry just kept driving, and he said, it wasn't me that moved. And when we sin, it isn't God that moves. Our sin separates us from God. And the only thing that brings us back is the grace and the mercy of God. Let's read this next scripture together, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Would you read it with me? Go. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. If you understand grace, it changes you. It saves you from your past. Let me give you the first illustration or story. Let's say I have an employee working in a company that I own. It's a large company. The problem is over the last 2-3 years, he's been stealing a computer here, something else there, and then he starts stealing money from the till. Now, the problem, one of the things that's going on is that I have surveillance cameras, and I have it all on film. One day, I just can't let it continue. He's got a great family, a great wife, but I just don't know why he keeps stealing. So I call him into my office, and I say to him, hey, Billy, you've been stealing from the company for the last 2-3 years. Oh, no, he says, I haven't. Oh, yes, yes, you have. I have it on film. You what? Yes, I got it on video. All of a sudden, his heart sinks, and his face is drawn low. And he says, I don't know why I do that. I said, you've got a great family. You're getting paid. What's going on? I'm so sorry. I'm just, please. Forgive me. Well, I'm sorry, Billy. The sheriff's outside, and I met with the board, and the board just said, we're going to have to turn you into the authorities. And they're going to incarcerate you, and you'll be going to court, and don't know how you're going to pay all of this back except by jail time. And he begins to weep, and he says, I'm just so sorry. I don't know what's gotten into me. Yeah, me too, Billy. I'm sorry. And so we start walking out, so I can turn him over to the sheriff who's waiting in the lobby when I say, Billy, stop for a second. He stops and turns around, and he said, Billy, you should be going to jail. He said, I know. You should be put away for a while. I know, he says, I know. But I said, I love your family, and I love your wife, and I love your kids. So I'm going to give you something that you may not deserve. It's called grace. What? What does that mean? Grace. It's a gift. The grace is we're going to overlook what you did. A grace that is so precious that it's going to restore you to your position here. One that you don't deserve, but grace covers it. And not only will you be restored to your position, grace is what's going to restore to you your salary and your pay. Oh, he falls down and says, I'm so sorry. Thank you. No, get up. It's a gift. And I want you to never, ever forget that. He said, but I deserve to go to jail. But grace has set you free. Grace has saved you. After he realizes what just happened to him, when he goes back to his chair and thinking, man, if my wife would have found out and my kids and I'm in jail, the world would know. But yet grace. Do you think when he goes back to his cubicle and starts working in again, do you think he goes, whoa, now I can steal some more. Now I can take more money because I'm back here. Man, grace has allowed me to steal some more computers. Do you think he would say that? Not on your life. Billy will become the best worker in that company. Why? Because of grace. He will be the most cordial worker. Why? Because of grace. And if someone in the company says, I don't think this company's any good, I think it stinks, Billy will be the first one to stand up and say, no, you don't understand. The people in this company care for us more than you will ever know. He will be the most encouraging, upbuilding person in that whole company. Why? Because of grace. You see, grace is what saved him from getting what he deserved. And it's by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself nor of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. When you understand grace, that we deserve hell, but God has given us life, it changes you. It makes you the best person. You're grateful. Well, things may not go well on this life, but I've got eternal life. I've got hope beyond the grave. And that's my hope. That's where I'm looking. This is my assignment. And I'm going to do well in my assignment. My reward isn't here. My reward is on the other side. Grace is what saved us. When he gives you grace, grace isn't that we can continue now in sin. Grace saves us from having to continue in sin. And it changes us. When you truly understand grace, it saves you. But I want you to understand not only grace, I want you to understand how his forgiveness utterly will transform you. The forgiveness, the exchange of his life for yours. Because you see, it was our sin that put him on the cross. Does he understand your sin? Absolutely. I remember a lady coming to me. She says, I've had several abortions. He doesn't understand the pain. He doesn't understand when I was assaulted, when I was sexually abused. He doesn't. And I said, no, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world? You know how many sins that is? That means all the sins. When he took upon himself all the sins, how many of the sins? All the sins, past, present, and to come. When he took upon himself the sins of the world, or all our sins, even the sins against a young mother, a young woman, he knows that. He knows exactly what you're feeling. He didn't take some of the sins. He just didn't take the men's sins. He took all of the sins of the world. Does he understand you? Absolutely. And would he exchange his life for yours? Absolutely. That's what Calvary is all about. And so I thought, oh, he took all the sins. And so forgiveness transformed me when I truly understand it. And let's read what it says here in the book of Romans 5 and verse 8. Would you read it with me? Go. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When did he die for us? When we were still sinners. Do you know when the most precious part of forgiveness is? It's when it's given when people are still sinners. See, sometimes we think people got to grovel in the dirt before I give them forgiveness. The Lord says, no, that's not forgiveness. That might be leniency. That might be you promoting yourself above them, giving them something like a condescending kind of gift. No, forgiveness is when they were yet sinners. He said, I forgive. That's the power of forgiveness. When we were yet sinning, Christ said, I forgive you. Why? Because forgiveness transforms us. When you know how much God loves you, even when I'm messing up, it changes your heart. Because it's not going to be by works anyway. In fact, it says this. Let's read the next one here about forgiveness in Galatians 2:20. I love this. Read it. Go. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Because you see, I should have been on the cross. That should be me. Jesus, you're innocent. Yeah, but I'm going to exchange my life for yours. And when you understand that exchange, it transforms you. How? Let me give you the second story.
Well, that's where we'll have to leave off for today. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May his presence go before.
From the New Hope Singers on Words of New Hope. Just before that, part one of a message entitled When You Need Forgiveness by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. In fact, here's a preview of what is in store for tomorrow.
Grace will make you one of the best because it's a gift. I'll be the best employee. I'll speak the best. And forgiveness, you bankrupted heaven, didn't you, Lord? For me, and you exchange your life for mine when I should be there on that cross, and yet you exchanged and then set me free. Well, I have no life because it's gone. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. So when I go through that door of freedom, it's your dreams. Live them through me.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.